welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, a day 225. How's the weather, Mike?
Wet.
It's bad. Oh, what happened? Is it as bad where you are, Jonathan? Let me know. We had an almighty hailstorm. Luckily, just after Lola had returned. Lola is not pleased with the weather. I think she's scared I'll make her wear her little booties.
Yes.
Because that went so well last time. Yet biblical, Jonathan, biblical. It's actually stopped raining here now. But the garden's now wet and Lola's very displeased. Very displeased. It's been shocking. What was Simon on when he arrived? With jumbo jets and chickens and stuff.
Copy and paste.
I think there was a little bit of judicious copying and pasting going on there. Anyway, good evening, Simon. Or Keith, as you prefer to be known. Ooh, look at that. We can all copy and paste, but we can't all be number one. Jonathan was very magnanimous tonight, anyway. Seamless entrance tonight. What can I say? It's only when we don't have an available plan B to instantly switch to that it starts playing games with us, with my mind. How's the support ticket system going, Mike? How many active support tickets do you actually have?
I'm writing another one.
Oh, they're getting lots
over the missing number at the end.
Oh, that's a new problem that's only arrived today.
Yes.
Mm. We're up to double figures, I think. What happens is, the situation is, the actual system, the software that we use, is on GitHub. But it's no use to you unless you have a server running 24/7. So that's what you pay the server company for. But then when there's an update on the GitHub side of things, it has to be rolled out on the server side of things. And it was the weekend. And the slim error that occurred, what, about a week ago that we saw? That was an emergency update. Well, yesterday was just chaos all day. But Mike said, oh, it'll be fine when you go live. It'll be fine when you press the button to go live. Guess what? Wasn't fine. You can imagine, because Jonathan said, I bet the air is blue. That was nothing to what happened after, I can assure you. So let's move on and forget the weekend, because, well, Mike can't because he's got open tickets, but once they're sorted. But hello, Simon. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Paul. Let's carry on. Does Lola absorb the water when it rains? No, it's really weird. Normally, you'd look at her and you'd think she was wet, and she would indeed feel wet. But she has two different types of fur. She has fur that's quite rough feeling, that sticks out from her body. And she has like very soft downy wool fur underneath that. So she's only wet on the outside. Her actual skin would not be wet. So you could towel dry the outside and she'd be fine. But obviously she's blowing her coat at the minute. So some of the soft under fur is like not where it would normally be. It's coming away. And if that gets wet, then her skin is wet and then we need to sort her all out. So she's more wet than she would normally be. She's not a happy dog. But she has made up for it with treats, has she not?
She has.
Oh, yes. She comes in and she's taken. Well, she seems to know when Mike's in a webinar. And whereas Maya would come in and start his pre-barking, hop, 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 That's pre-barking. She comes in and she kind of talks a bit, you know. And then if that doesn't get anywhere, she starts low growling. Which I've got
she's
to record.
She's started that growling, hasn't
I know.
She
hasn't done that all the while she's been here. And all of a sudden she's taken to kind of padding in, looking at me, head-butting me, and then going, not like nasty, just, I'm here and I want a treat. And if I don't get one, I'm going to bark and then Daddy's going to be displeased. So I'm like, what can I give her? And I'm in the box trying to find a treat. She's a little minx. Oh, she is. She knows exactly the second Daddy goes live. Exactly the second. Banner showing day 18. Look, you know we're here. I'm live. Hello. It's the 26th of October. And it's day 225. When Mike's finished this support ticket, he'll put another one in about that. But I told you, as soon as they fixed the issue I was having yesterday, the meta would go again. But just to prove it to you, let me get that up there. Let me do some magic beans. What would the best magic beans to do be? Let's do that with the magic beans.
Right.
You best put some vodka in that, the way it's going. Right, I will do this and I will show you exactly what I'm sending to the server. I am sending day 225. It's just got a mind of its own at the moment. There you go. That is what I am sending it live. There's a lot more going on than that, but I'm sending you that. Right, who else have we got in here? Anyway, we're time travelling. Day 18 was probably a good day. Day 18, we thought we'd be out of this by day 30. So let's look on the bright side. At no point on day 18 did we think we would be making it day 225. Just saying. So let's travel back. Well, when was day 18? There you go. Let's try that. It must have been May time. No, it would have been April, wouldn't it? Let's have a look. Day 31. So it was a lot earlier than that. What's that one? Day 17. It was the 16th of April. There you go. 16th of April. Now, the 16th of April, we were all wide-eyed and innocent. The prospect of a COVID Christmas wasn't even on our agenda, was it? No. I'm just checking because I'm thinking, why have I got Eat Snack on my calendar? It's probably Mike's calendar. I don't think I'd put Eat a Snack on it. I'm wondering if it was before or after Easter. I think it must have... it was after Easter. There you go. It was a week after Easter. Oh, we were on holiday. We were on holiday, so that's fantastic. Oh, excellent. Anyway, that's what that was then. That's not now. But if you check what I've just posted, I'm quite right. Now it says live and it says 225. You've just got to wait, clearly, 8 minutes. I did not do a thing. Right, so we've got Paul, we've got Simon, we've got another Paul, we've got Kim. Hello! Kim couldn't get in for a while. That's not good. It's been working brilliantly all day until I try and go live, obviously. wrong time to blow a coat. She's very strange blowing a coat. It is. Normally, they would blow it in the summer when they would then be cooler. But she's always been an October girl. I'm trying to think. Maybe she blew at 6 months old and her birthday's in June. Normally, dogs are in season at a certain time of the year. And there are a lot of Sammies born in March, but she was born in June. So maybe it's that. Anyway, she's full of treats now and quite happy. Poor girl. CQ, CQ. Terrible time getting the message board to appear. You could hear me. Oh, this is strange. Everyone's saying they're needing to refresh. Anyway, meta sorted now. Despite the fact I was sending the right thing all along. You see, if I started at 2:45, we'd have to open the chat, wouldn't we? And then that way madness would ensue.
That opens up a can of worms, doesn't it?
Oh, more than one usually. More than one. 2 degrees with snow for Deb. Oh, wow. Now, you see, snow I adore. Sleet, hail, rain, howling wind, not quite so much. Cool's nice, but I could do without the rain. And I can only imagine what it sounded like on your big windows, Jonathan. Because our windows are only like half height, whereas I think yours are floor to ceiling, aren't they? And it was horrific. I thought, it's going to break the glass. Thankfully, we did not go for that stupid conservatory idea with a glass roof. Ours has a proper roof, insulated to about the depth of 12 inches. And so far, so good with that, touch wood. You can see the banner once you're in the chat. Doesn't bother you. Excellent. I'm still live. I'm still here. Oh, no. Kim's fridge seems to have broken.
Somebody's unmade the bed.
That means Lola's just made unmade the bed. So she's clearly tried to dry herself on the quilt, which will now be in the dryer, probably. Oh. People in the house is a possibility. Oh, is it fixable broken or broken broken? We've had both. Fixable broken was I had to sort out a plate underneath it that was, I mean, it's the most stupid design on the planet. The fridge we had when I was a kid lasted years. I swear it was the same fridge from before I was born to me driving a car. Because I remember taking Mum out and picking out the new fridge. And it had an ice box at the top. And yeah, I used to have to defrost it. Well, they went all newfangled and said, you don't need an ice box at the top anymore. It's a condenser, I think it's called. Yeah, but the actual design means that under the fridge, there's a plate. And the water is supposed to drip on it. And the plate is like, as I say, electrified. And it kind of dissipates on the plate, which is fine. But who on God's green earth decided it was a good idea to make the plate of rustable metal? So within a couple of years, Mum was like, there's water on the floor. And I'm like, it's fine. I'll look underneath it. Assuming that we had a kind of hole that you could fix it. No, it was the plate. It had rusted. So I said, I'm going to have to weld the plate. She said, that's fine. And I thought, here I am. I must have been aged about 22. Just give me that welding iron while I fix the fridge. So that was a fixable issue. But as years went on, everybody was saying the same, that the weather had changed to such a degree that the plate was constantly overwhelmed. And then it needed a people. It was a people problem at that point. But we had ours delivered to the garden and we brought it in. So is that a possibility? Probably not, actually, depending on, not given the size of an American fridge, I wouldn't have thought. For us, it was a possibility. I even got two in the car once at the same time. But ours are like pygmy shoeboxes by comparison to yours. You'll just have to move out for a fortnight, Kim. Have you got a tent? Oh, this is just getting ridiculous, isn't it? And I've got a bone to pick with a lot of you as well shortly. So Jonathan says, at day 225, we never thought we'd be a day 954. I'll make a note of that for future self, Jonathan. Oh, firework went off. Dusty shot under the desk. Jumped up between my legs. Excuse the Jim Jams. Frightened dog. Oh, bless. We had fireworks last night and I said to Mike, is it some kind of event that I've missed? I know it's not Diwali, is it? But is it some kind of event? Oh, look. Poor lad. Poor, poor lad. Lola doesn't bat an eyelid. Look at that head. It's so cute. In fact, the shape of the nose is quite Lola-ish from the side. But Lola's ears are up, usually all the time, like radar dishes. Oh, that is so cute. But isn't it? It's just so sad animals have to suffer this. There's no need for fireworks tonight. It's raining. It's really bad out there. Why would you go out and let fireworks off? No idea. Oh, you didn't need to refresh. Oh, good. Can I please see my comments? Neil, which comments are these? Are you not seeing them? Try a refresh. It better not be broken. It's only 15 months old. Yes, but we don't want repair folk either, do we? Not really. Is there a manual trip switch that you could try? I always try that first. Turn it off for about 6 to 8 hours and then turn it back on and see how it is. Working on a principle, stuff that used to work seamlessly doesn't work anymore. That's what drives me mad. I had this conversation with Mike. I had a simple requirement. This was incredibly simple. Following on from the Clipper in Notion debacle, where it doesn't save the images. On what planet did someone think that was a good idea? I had some notes. So what I had was a video. I was working through a course. It was a very short thing. There was something like 7 or 8 videos. And I also had transcripts of what was said. So I'm watching the video and I've got the transcript in front of me. So to save me typing any notes whatsoever, I was just highlighting the pertinent bits. And as I'm doing it, I'm thinking, God, this is god-awful in Notion. Because I don't know if you've noticed, there's highlights. And the highlights, if you're highlighting a whole block, you can live with them. But if you're only highlighting like one sentence within a paragraph, you can barely see it. The point of a highlight, you know, as the name implies, is to highlight something. So could we have a highlighter that's actually a highlighter? Like Dayglow Neon. That would be good. So I thought, right, that this isn't working for me. You know, it's just not bright enough in the highlights. I'll try Evernote, I thought. So I copied everything out of Notion, pasted it into Evernote, because obviously I'd already got some notes that I'd done. And I was thinking, and how I do the notes is I highlight in bold and then I go back and I highlight over that with things on like a second pass. It's called progressive summarisation. If you want to know more about it in after hours, let me know. So I do the bold first and then I do the highlighting on it. So as I pasted it into Evernote, I'm looking at it thinking that's fine. And I highlighted a bit and I could see it. Awesome. And then I realised it hadn't brought over the highlights from Notion. So it had brought over the bold and the italic and the underline, but it had not brought over the what was the crux of the problem, which was the highlighting. So I highlighted some in Evernote and then decided to paste it back. Confident that it would not go with it. I wasn't disappointed it didn't go with it. And I'm sat looking at it and I'm thinking, for crying out loud, this was better in 2008 than it is now. So 12 years of development on, and actually Evernote is a shadow of its former self for a start. Have you seen Dusty? Fireworks.
Oh.
Dusty's scared.
Oh, Dusty.
Simon, in his gym jams, is looking after him. Look at that face.
Simon's in his gym jams.
Yes, he said, excuse the gym jams. Here you go. Oh. He's dived under the table and jumped up between Simon's legs, like Lola does with you.
Yeah. Right, how about getting this meeting?
Oh, we're not going for the suit and tie option then, are we not?
No, it's a what's it meeting.
Oh, it says you're right, that's fine. He's going in a T-shirt.
God, Art's already in there.
You've got pants on.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good job Simon had pants on.
This is true.
Oh dear, what a cute face. So I was disgusted. I was disgusted. I couldn't find a way, no matter which app I looked at, that would enable me to copy and paste between it and retain the highlight.
Oh, she's been out.
Again.
She's toileted and she's tucked.
She's a happy dog. And she's wet again. It's all right, she'll dry off. So I mentally went through all of the apps and I thought, OneNote, no. What else did I have? Bear, no. Drafts, no. Ulysses, no. There's just nothing there that's fully featured anymore. Does nobody else have these problems or is it just me? Could well be just me, you know. You've been on YouTube trying everything. Flip the breaker to the fridge. That is not good. 15 months. I always think a fridge should last at least 10 to 12 years. I think over here it's 6. The expectation is 6. Oh, fingers crossed, Kim. I mean, it's just the messing as well, isn't it? I you know, if something breaks, it breaking is one thing. It's the grief it gives you. You've got to go through all of the testing to make sure that it's okay. I mean, when Mike's mum's freezer went in the middle of Mike's dad dying, what a fiasco. She'd had to go to work. Mike's brother had come up from where he lives, which is probably about 100 miles away, to spend some time with his dad. But he's also self-employed, so he was trying to work while he was at it. At which point, the freezer, now the fridge and freezer were like a combined unit, I think. Or if not a combined unit, they were in a combined space in the kitchen, which is a flat. Beautiful, beautiful flat, but a flat. And it's not on the ground floor. This is pertinent when the next one arrives. And she'd flicked all the switches and stuff and it seemed to be okay then. And then it went. So she ordered a new freezer from John Lewis, which is not cheap. John Lewis is like the Harrods of fridges and freezers. Certainly not as cheap as Curry's. Curry's PC World is probably where I would go. I would just go for the cheapest. I do not buy anything extravagant because it won't last any longer. So I don't take out any extended warranties or anything. It's like if it lasts me 3 years, I'm happy. So she ordered this new thing. So what had happened was the day she went to order it, the freezer starts spewing out all over the floor and she's in a flat. She's got nowhere to put the food. And there was gluten-free pizzas in there because her other daughter-in-law is gluten-free as well. She looked out there. She's got two daughter-in-laws that are both gluten-free. So she had pizza in there. And obviously, with it being gluten-free, it's quite expensive. There was steak in there. There was handmade ice cream in there. So I had to drop everything. Should have got any room in your freezer? Well, I thought, she doesn't need to know we've actually got two chest freezers. I said, yes, plenty. I'll come and get it. So I had to go up there and get all this stuff. She then ordered a replacement that when it arrived, didn't fit into the space, having dragged it up the stairs. So that one had to go back. They reordered it in a size that would fit the space she had. And then they said, oh, there's a delay on it. Now, luckily, it was back end of November, early December, and she had most of her pantry stuff outside on a ledge in the freezing cold. So you nearly froze your knackers off if you needed some milk. But before it could arrive, this is the freezer, the fridge went. So then I said, why don't you get a combined one? So she reorders. So we're on to the third order at this point for this fridge freezer. When it arrives, it fits the space okay. But we're back to the fact they moved in this flat. And it was, I think it was a new build or an almost new build over 25 years ago. And the new fridges and freezers didn't fit the existing kitchen units. So then the door, the way they have them in the UK, the fridge and the freezer, I always find this dodgy firewise, are inside the cupboards. And the cupboard doors are attached via some kind of mechanism to the doors of the fridge and the freezer. And you then open it and it opens the fridge and it opens the freezer. That's the plan. Doesn't work so well when it doesn't fit. So she's ended up with a fridge and freezer inside a cupboard with no doors on it now. They went to the tip ages ago because they just wouldn't fit. It's not great, is it? And that was Christmas. Yes, we can see your comment, Neil. Yes. We're back to... You've been in gym jams for 225 days. Nothing wrong with that. It's work attire. There you go. It's work attire. Deb's been having a look at Adobe Illustrator for iPad. Bad idea for Adobe to make you have a sub for both iPad and desktop. I think in their mind, you're paying for desktop and they're providing the iPad gratis. I think that's their idea. But it could do with having a subscription just for iPad if we accept that an iPad is a proper computer. This was something that was discussed yesterday at MacBytes headquarters. As I was saying, is there a way to run, broadcast to the radio from an iPad? And Mike went, no. And I said, that's because it's not a proper computer. Just saying. But it is for certain things, but it's not for everything. So there is an increasingly long list for me of things that an iPad just won't do. And it's so annoying. It is so annoying. I could have taken care of that. The subs are too expensive. You can get a sub that is just, I think it's $9.99 a month. And it's Lightroom and Photoshop. But then that doesn't give you Illustrator. And, if it had Illustrator, it might be more viable. But good night, Jonathan. Oh, so there is a trial on the iPad. You're lucky to have a freezer in the garage. That's where ours is. A little freezer shed, both of them. They have their own postcode, Kim. Which is why when they were delivered to the garden and we sorted the rest out. Double lucky you've got a garage. So you've got the Creative Cloud. Photoshop plan. Yeah, that's the one I think would be nice if they put Illustrator in it. But Simon uses Illustrator, InDesign and Photoshop. Do you use this instead of Affinity, Simon? Is it instead of or as well as? Buying the full things back in the day was excruciating. Oh, I've still got the boxes too, Simon. An upgrade was about £700. There's another app called Adobe Com, lets you tinker around with designs and then export to different apps. Tried it this morning. Do you mean Comp? Comp's been around for a while. The trouble with Adobe is they bring out some fantastic stuff and then either it doesn't catch on or for internal reasons, they rebrand, repurpose, you know, do something with it and it kind of vanishes. And trying to keep up with what applications they've got and what they use for and why we're doing it that way is so tricky. It used to be so easy, but now, no. First year, $29 a month or $358 annual. I think, probably not with that, with a special deal for $29.99. I think there's a thing about being grandfathered on what you started at, because I think I have been. It's so annoying, though. I mean, I look at Photoshop and Photoshop can do some amazing things now. But in terms of, they've changed how it works in certain aspects fundamentally, seemingly to match Affinity. And you're thinking, why are they doing that? At least what I'll say about Photoshop is it's a lot faster than it used to be. But the interface changes just are annoying. Wouldn't use the software more than a couple of times a year. That's you're not being ignored, Neil. Can somebody talk to Neil? You're not. I'm seeing you. Hello. You get full CC free from work. Ooh, this is what you need to do. You need to get on a course somewhere and get it free. That would be very good. I'm surprised they don't give like 60 or 90 day versions for their own education thing. Have you used any of those, Neil? There is an education site and it has like courses. Not just courses as in, you know, everybody's on a course these days, but courses for teachers and students that you can like either partake in or you as the teacher can take the stuff and then repurpose it your own way. It'd be lovely if they had for other people who are taking the educational stuff a similar kind of thing, but a longer trial. Like Affinity did when we went into lockdown. All those years ago when we went into lockdown. That's what they're up to, isn't it, Kim? They'll get used to it and then they'll buy it. I think the thing is with that, it's standard. Adobe is standard. And if you want an easy life transferring stuff, you'll do that. They've also really ramped up the team features, which Affinity has no concept of. Yes, you can create libraries and you can export them, but there's no shared stuff. It's all got to be manually passed around. It does allow us to give kids access to quality software and teach techniques. It does. Do you know, I don't know where you find the teachers capable of teaching it, Neil, because I've been into a few schools here where they want work doing on a website and OMG, they can barely run Word. And when I say like, who's teaching computing to the children? Oh, that's so-and-so. She went on a course for 3 days and that's it. And the kids are running rings around them. Absolutely running rings around them. They like, and we've got the system locked down. And when you look at the logs, yeah, you think you have, but the kids are outwitting you. Honestly, they are. Right. Simon doesn't use Affinity. Have to use Adobe apps. Files I work on remain the property of the client who also use Adobe. Oh, Quark. Oh, no, that's a bad one. I seriously contemplated, this must be 18 years ago, switching from InDesign. I had a look. No, that wasn't happening. I think back then, you know, you were talking about the price that was eye-watering. Yeah, Quark was almost as much for one app and it didn't have any of the supporting apps. Oh, dear. At least that one's gone. Hello, Anthony. You get free LinkedIn training. Ooh, yes, because that's part of it now, isn't it? No, hang on. That it was Microsoft that bought that, wasn't it? Lynda.com was. Lynda.com, nee, Lynda.com. Yeah, that was good. They were good. I think the only thing wrong with Lynda and what is now known as LinkedIn Learning, they can't seem to get the courses up there fast enough for the newer apps. But I guess it doesn't matter if you're using Adobe apps, because they will do for Adobe apps. The new versions of Adobe apps will get up there, but the Affinity stuff is way old, and they don't seem that keen on putting more of it up there either. You learn Adobe, transfer into Affinity is pretty easy. There is a lot of overlap between them, a serious lot of overlap. To the point I was contemplating doing some Adobe stuff in After Hours, because the principles are the same. I'd like to spend some time with some of the new features, because a lot of it has been them catching up. Now I think they are actually putting in stuff that will make a difference to how people use the apps. And then it's going to be over to Affinity. Now, when you think Affinity Designer and Affinity Photo, pushing 5 years old now, and it's still version one, I'm wondering if we're heading into this quarter and that we will see a big update. But I'm not feeling it yet. We've also still awaiting Affinity Publisher on the iPad, which I don't think we'll see before WWDC next year. I'd love to be wrong, but I'm not feeling it. They tend to coincide with a WWDC because they get free publicity. And if they get it out around that time, they stand a chance in the awards as well. And they've also confirmed, and this was at least 2 years ago, they're working on an asset management system. So something Lightroom-ish. And we've not had a sniff of that yet either. That would go out first in beta because it would be for the desktop. They're pretty good. We're using 360-degree cameras. Oh, wow. Kids and teachers using fabulous software, CoSpaces. Oh, I've heard of CoSpaces. I don't know whether Mike's company tried that or actually deployed it, but I have heard of that. Quark was a horror story. Oh, yes. InDesign version 1, a major improvement over Quark 23. I remember InDesign coming out. It was the late 90s, wasn't it? And I bought this book. Do you remember the Quick Start books from, is it Peach Pit? Sandy Cohen, I think it was, and she'd done a lot on Quark, and then she did this book on the very first version of InDesign. And at the time, I was having to switch from, what was it called? Not Paradox, that was a database. It was CorelDRAW and Corel something, which was the DTP package. Really, really, really good, but not standard in any way. So you couldn't take any exports out or import anything. It was such a shame because it was really good, that. But I ended up with version one of InDesign as well, all those years ago. Wow. And Anthony used to use Serif Page Plus, which is now Affinity. Yes, it was Windows only. I remember that. I won that in a competition. I have no idea now. I think you had to buy an app. And I think the app I bought was something like Assets. You know, like Vector Assets, like a little library on a CD. And it automatically entered you in a competition. And I was on holiday and I kept getting these messages on my phone. And obviously we're looking at like the late mid-90s, I think. So yes, I had a mobile phone, but very, very, very few people had the number. And I was on holiday with Mike and we'd gone with my mum and dad. And that was it. And I kept getting these calls and they didn't leave a message. Anyway, eventually when I caught one of these calls, it was from Serif to say that I'd won the competition and I'd won this software and they wanted to confirm the address to send it to. And I got the one that you'd got, Page Plus, and I think there's a couple of others as well. And I always remembered how generous they were and how attention to detail, the attention to detail, instead of just sending it to the address that they had, they wanted to check it was right first. And it impressed me that. So when it came out, you know, they weren't there. I used it, but they weren't available on the Mac. So there was a few years on the Mac when it wasn't available. And then they came up with this, like, we're doing this affinity thing. But it was interesting that the company was called Serif and still is. But this project was Affinity Photo, Affinity Designer. But it took until Affinity Publisher, until we realised why they'd used the term Affinity in terms of the way the code base is structured and how the apps all interlink. So it was a long-term strategy they had, and it was very, very good. I'll have to have a look at that CoSpaces one. I do remember Linda's original web design books. Beautiful and cover things like tables and WebSafe. I do. And she had a guy called Garrick Chow, who was one of the first ones to make videos for Linda. And I think he wrote some of those books. He was still doing courses at the moment Linda was sold. So I do remember that. Absolutely. That's what it was called. Ventura. Karel Ventura. Ventura was fabulous. Looking back, I don't think it lacked a feature. And that was years and years ago. That was easy for me, 22, 24 years ago. It had a big interface in terms of everything was on a button right in front of you. And it had styles, link styles. You could chain the styles. The outputs were there. The inputs were there. The library items. It was fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. I made a good few magazines in Ventura. The problem was I could see the way it was going. Karel just seemed to buy stuff, tinker with it for a bit, and then delete, you know, it's no longer available to buy. It's gone, deleted from the catalogue. They pretty much ruined WordPerfect, and I could see the way they were going with Ventura. So I knew I needed to change. But when you looked at InDesign by comparison to Ventura, it wasn't good. Ventura was way better. It was owned by Karel, Simon, but they bought it. They didn't make it. They bought it from somebody else. And then they did this bundle that you could get Karel Draw for Windows and Karel Ventura for Windows in this bundle. I think I qualified for some kind of double upgrade thing because I already had it. And the two were like complementary. They were interlinked to the point you could double click on a graphic in Ventura and it would open up Corel Draw, and you could then, and of course it also came, those were the two main apps in it, but it also became in the end the Corel Draw suite, which included Photo Paint, which was their version of Photoshop. So it really was a viable alternative at that point, at least on Windows, to Adobe. But they never went down the Mac route. Well, I mean, they have now, but the price is just absolutely obscene. So at the time it wasn't, and then obviously moving to a Mac, then I kept with Adobe. The Peach Pit books were great. They were very detailed, and yet you looked at them, and they didn't exactly look like a dummy's guide, but they certainly looked like a beginner's guide. But once you got into them, they were very detailed. They would teach you everything that you needed to know. On the subject of teachers, this is Anthony, got an email from a teacher asking if I'd do a Zoom talk to his class on supporting people with sight loss, which I thought was cool. That is amazing. And what I'll say about that is, if that's something that you're interested in doing, and there's no charge involved, I'll just mention the no charge involved. Many, many schools are desperate. They are desperate now, but they were desperate before, to be honest, because they like to do things with the children that gives them more life experience. And before, this is particularly primary school children, before the COVID thing, they would approach local museums, and we've got like the Institute of Technology in Manchester, and they would arrange like a trip out. But obviously, since the COVID thing, and with a trip out, they have to charge for like the bus, and some parents can't afford it. So they put the call out for people to come in and do a talk, or like you're doing there via Zoom. They don't have any budget, and they can't really charge the children because, as you've seen with the Marcus Rashford thing, they can't afford to eat. So they certainly haven't got any extra funds to bring people in. But I've done a couple of talks like that. I've actually gone into the schools because it was like a couple of years ago. But they love that. So you could actually volunteer at any school. Just get in touch with the head teacher, explain where you're from, what you do. They will snatch your hand off. because they are desperate for the children to have some kind of external input and learn from external things on a good day. But with the COVID thing, even more so, they would snatch your hand off, telling you. Hello, Mrs. Simon. How are you doing? We've seen Simon's PJs. Very impressed. I've been long-time friends with Serif. I have. I thought they were very good. Before that, I must admit, before that competition, I thought of them as like the software they made being like second class next to Adobe. But actually, it was really good back then. The difference was Adobe always had that cachet of it's photoshopped. It's virtually a verb, isn't it? And Serif didn't have that. The only thing I'll say with them now is I think it is about time that we saw version two. I would be quite happy to give them money. But I'd like to see things like the mail merge, because that would then solve a problem. The mail merge that you can do, which is basically Word. I am having to use Word for mail merges that I would love to do in Publisher or even Designer, because Illustrator does mail merge. So I would love them to gee it along a bit and give them some more money. I've already bought it. I do try desperately to support them. I bought it via the App Store because that was the only way initially. And then when they had that sale on at the beginning of COVID, I thought I'm going to support them and I'll buy it direct from them as well, even though I already had it. And I also buy the Windows versions, which I use like once a year. But I thought might as well have them as not. Because they're charging so little and it's an active version for 5 years. You get 5 years of upgrades for free. I think it's about time they charged. But their strategy must be supporting them, so I'll leave them with it. Would just love to see the mail merge thing. I remember badgering them for links, PDF links in Publisher. And they were like, why do you want that? You know, this is for print media. Like, no, it's not. PDF. We need links. I cannot add the links later. It's ludicrous. And they built in the links. Fair play to them. They did. I think it took them about 4 months. And I got a little note that said, PDF links, have a go. It's very rudimentary, but it works. I think it was because you can tell if you look at half the features, they're totally integrated. And this links bit's like, we bolted this on after. It just does look like that. But at least they did it. Can't say fairer than that. Right. Ventura was on its own. It disappeared when Gorel bought it. Have you noticed the number of apps you could say that about? If only they'd bought Quark, it would have died much sooner. Oh, Mrs. Simon asked me to send this link. Right, I'm heading off to have a look at the link. I've still got a bone of contention to pick with you all. It was all about those films. I'll have to have a look at that because I can't put the sound on or I'll get my own sound, won't I? Look at the state of him. Right, I will have a look at that. Oh, FrameMaker. FrameMaker was amazing. That was something that Mike used at a company he was at, or the company used it. Mike was never using it greatly. For manuals, because FrameMaker excels when it comes to long books. So FrameMaker was a great one. There was another one as well. I think RoboHelp I tried, which was one that Adobe bought, I do believe. No, I have not seen this yet, Mrs. Simon, but I will do. I can see it here, but I've got no sound on it. So I want the full experience. So I will play that shortly. You have a strategy called project-based learning, having experts talk to driving. Talk to a driving question is really good ways. Yeah. We have that site you probably know about, which is Munich 58. And it's a lot of the kids have no idea that, like, to them, it's like, oh, it's an air crash and it was ages ago. But if you relate it to, like, can you imagine Marcus Rashford going abroad for a game and not coming home? They're like, oh, and then they get it. So you need to do it age appropriate. Obviously, people died. They engage so much with stuff like that. And particularly at the moment, I mean, we had a governor's meeting. It was like, how are the kids doing? They're fine, actually. What they're missing is they're not allowed out of their bubbles at playtime. So normally they'd have a break in the morning and then they'd have lunch and then they'd have an afternoon break. And all of the, we're a single intake, a single form intake, which means there's only 30 children of a particular age group per year. But, you know, that's 220 children altogether, and they're not allowed out to play together. They have to stay inside or, you know, go out. Like, you can have 5 minutes, in you come. You can have 5 minutes. So something that comes in, even via Zoom, they're mesmerised by at the moment. They would pay it more attention than they would normally. So I know that they're trying to do that. They've had certain theatre groups offering to do, like, you know, a 30-minute play of something, maybe that the children are studying, and do that via Zoom. So there's a lot of collaboration going on, but I know that they are always on the lookout for anything like that. So anybody who had anything to offer like that, and via Zoom, I'm not sure about the legality of needing your criminal records check. What's it called? Something DB. I've got mine. You need an enhanced criminal records check to go into a school, but probably on Zoom, you probably don't. So that again opens it up to a wider thing. I mean, if you can imagine trying to get 5 people from a theatre group into a school, these criminal record checks can be like £140 each. They can't afford it. But via Zoom, I think you'd be okay. I don't need sound, do I not? I can just watch it. Right, okay then. I'll take it back to the beginning and I'll watch it. I'll play with sound later. He should have a mask on, shouldn't he? And then these things wouldn't happen. I'm loving that. He looks absolutely horrified. And I love the way the lady's mask matches her dress. I'm assuming this is some kind of... looking at the dress that the child's got on, that looks like... First Holy Communion, which we've kiboshed this year. That's not happening this year. But when they, our priest has this saying, and he does not like the kids turning up, and he uses this phrase as if it's my big fat gypsy wedding. So he likes very simple, plain dresses. But the parents, oh no, they like that. More bouffant than that. With little jackets and all sorts. Oh, you should see it. That's a classic. Brilliant. Love it. That's the one. A DBS check. That's the one. Oh, you're sorted. You're absolutely sorted then. Oh, Mrs. Simon insists on them. I'd have thought you'd be okay. But maybe not. Ah, now Deb has both affinities, PC and the iPad. Oh, he's got the iPod versions as well, haven't I? So there are 3 versions. Oh, that'd be lovely. If you could sort that out, Anthony, that would be amazing. Think of all those children that would have more idea than they would have had without the COVID thing. FrameMaker's still going. It is, and it's hugely expensive now. It's not part of Adobe Creative Cloud. So it's a separate purchase. And I think, isn't it subscription? I think it's a subscription thing. I mean, it's very good, but really? When will they need... If they put all of their stuff in a Creative Cloud subscription, people will probably go for it more. You can understand what was said and it was still funny. Is it in Latin or is it a foreign language that Tracy would know? I will listen later and we'll find out, but I love that. I love the high five. Genius. The PDF that Deb's been working on was designed in Illustrator. Opened in Illustrator and Affinity, couldn't believe how many layers. I always find that, you know, when you get artwork and it's either SVG or EPS and you open it up in Affinity and you're like, oh, there's 5,000 layers. I don't tend to use layers that much, if at all. In Affinity, they are there and it's a feature you can use, but because you can group things, I tend to group things. I think that makes more sense. The layers I would use if I was putting text on something and I had three different languages, then I would use a layer for the languages. But other than that, I don't particularly bother with layers. And when I see all these layers, it's like, oh, for crying out loud, because grouping them moves them together. Whereas with a layer, and there's just so many of them. I agree. And it's even more difficult when you've got like an artwork and you're trying to take part of it away. There was one I had, and it's something I'm doing for Christmas. And I just wanted part of this artwork. And I had to like draw around it, and then I've got more than I need, and then I'm trying to extract the background. And the layers don't seem to be in any sensible order either. I mean, obviously, if you've got like a hat on a head, then the hat needs to be higher up the layer stack. But some of them you'll find, you know, you're looking for like the feather on the hat and it's at the bottom. It's just nonsensical. I wish there was some kind of common standard for developing across applications, because you can open them, but trying to work with them is a living nightmare. Gypsy wedding. Most clergy dressed like a gold-laden cardinal from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Oh, tell me about it, Simon. Our bishop is an absolute scream. He's very old school, and yet he's not that old. For a bishop, he's actually quite young. But you know how you get career politicians who are, you know, their aim in life is like to climb the greasy pole? It's sort of like that. Rather than being a priest for like 90 years and then becoming a bishop, this guy was quite political in his ambitions and became a bishop really quite young. But as I say, his religion is kind of circa the Dark Ages. So he came, we saw him first. We actually met the guy, you know, to talk to. And he's lovely to talk to, lovely bloke. But when he starts talking, he like goes off into a trance, like he is thunderstruck by religion. It's really weird to watch. It is. And then he said, I'm going to do this mass. So we toddled into mass. Admittedly, it was at the cathedral, but Shrewsbury Cathedral is tiny. I mean, tiny. It probably holds about 20% of what we could get in our church. Whereas you think of a cathedral as being huge, this is tiny. And he wandered in and he had two people behind him and they were carrying his robes. Simon would love the look of this. And I'm thinking, can he carry his own? Anyway, he comes round and he comes up the aisle, goes up the middle, and he's got in his hand a gold-plated staff. Not even kidding. And on his head, he's got the biggest mitre you've ever seen. And he's, at this stage, not got his glasses on. So he gets up to the chair. They have to lift his cape thing over the back, his cassock. And then he finally sits down. They take the hat off him. And I'm like, oh, come on. And then he's got a prayer book in his hand. So he's about to start rattling away in Latin. You know, not heard Latin in church in the last 50 years. We'll do it in Latin. And I thought, you might do. I'm not. My dad would have done. He knew it all in Latin. Me? No, not a clue. So he starts looking at the prayer book, and obviously he's not got his glasses on. So I thought, oh, he'll get his glasses on. He had another priest, this is the third priest, who was carrying his glasses on a cushion. I don't know, you could probably hear me laughing in Salford, never mind Shrewsbury. I'm like, I'm covering my face up. And I'm thinking, do not laugh out loud, do not laugh out loud. But the thing was, once the guy actually put his glasses on for him, and I'm like, is he helpless? He had those glasses on and off, on and off, on and off, all through Mass. This priest, we knew this priest, he's from a church not that far away in Withenshaw. And that was his sole job. He didn't do anything else. He said no prayers, he did nothing. He just put these glasses on, took the glasses off, put the glasses on, took them off. And then one of the others was stood behind him, putting the hat on and taking the hat off at the right point. I was totally helpless. Oh, tell me about it. Right, let's have a look at the picture Simon's got. What kind of regalia is this? Is it the full outfit? He actually came to our church last Christmas time. Did the same thing again. Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. That's exactly what the bishop was wearing. And last Christmas, he came with all his fancy stuff. Although that's Pope Benedict, isn't it? He was very fond of stuff like that, was Pope Benedict. But you see how the cape fans out? That was what was lifted over the back of the chair. Then it looks like in that picture he's wearing a wedding dress. But all of that stuff that you see there, and the guy on the right in that picture is the spit image of the guy who was putting the glasses on and off, our bishop. But all of that stuff that he's got on there, our bishop had on. And he walks down to the back of the church to, you know, meet the hoi polloi. And he gives the staff the cape and the hat to our deacon and says, can you look after those? And off he goes. But he, instead of doing it on the altar, he insisted on walking down the aisle wearing that lot and getting to the back door before he took it all off and gave it to the deacon. So I totally agree with you, Simon. Whenever I see a bishop like that, I just can't help thinking of Dave Allen. I love Dave Allen. I used to dash back from university. I'd finish my classes about 4:45. I think it's about 4:25 on a Saturday evening. And I had to dive out of university straight into my car and try and beat the last whistle at QPR because I had to get past QPR. And if the game had finished, I was knackered because people were going to the tube station opposite and they were walking up and down the road in front of me. So I would dive through there. And if I got through there, I was dashing back home. And my aim was to get home for the start of Bergerac. And then I had quite a thing for John Nettles. And having watched Bergerac, next thing on was Dave Allen. And that was my Saturday night sorted. Absolutely loved it. No offence taken, good grief. They're barking mad. Trust me, Simon, they're barking. Absolutely insane, half of them. I work on the principle that, you know, the priest, the deacon, the bishop, the pope, not God. Just saying, you might think you are, you might think you have a direct connection, but actually, no, you're no different than we are. We just let you stand there and pretend. So absolutely no offence. Good grief. I've seen them look worse than that. The bit that I do find tricky, and they're doing it for a reason, and I respect that reason, and I don't laugh, but it is bizarre, is when they come out at Easter and they lie on the altar. They lie on the steps of the altar. And the thing that makes it tricky is you're thinking it's they do it during their, when they become a priest, their inauguration as a priest. But they do it at Easter to show like deference. But the thing is, when you look at them, there was four of them. And it looks like a take that reunion. And they are flat in front of the altar. One of them has had a heart-lung transplant. Obviously, not that fit. The other one had literally just come out of hospital 2 months before. And I just had a vision they'd get on the floor and they wouldn't get up. Our priest himself has got a metal plate in his back. And that left the one that was quite fit. It was about, I think he's probably heading to 60 now. And I just had visions of him having to lift the other three up. So you do sit there and you can't actually concentrate for thinking they're never going to get up. They're never going to go up. So you're sniggering to yourself. Deb, no names on the layers. Numbers were in reverse order. Yep. Shapes were simple, square and a rectangle. Would have thought it might have been easier in PDF creator or a word processor. It is ridiculous the way that they go on. There's no proper translation into something that's usable. I actually haven't found a PDF reader, never mind creator, for the Mac that's actually as powerful as Acrobat, but people don't want to use Acrobat, the free reader. They renamed it to Adobe Reader so people knew it was free. But sometimes to get the best out of a PDF format, you really do need the reader, and yet people don't have it. And I know there's a version for iOS, but that's not as good as some of the other readers on iOS. It's not good. You never understood the use of incense. Throw you into an asthma attack. Kim, many, many years ago, I was at midnight mass with my mum and dad. I think I was probably about 10 or 11 at the time. And they came out wafting the incense, as they do. And it always I wouldn't say I coughed with it, but it was a bit pungent. Didn't enjoy it, let's put it like that. But I could bear it. Anyway, it comes out in like a silver ball on the end of a chain, which is wafted from side to side. And usually that is given to an altar server to do. Back in the day, it was an altar boy, but now they do have girls. So an altar server. Anyway, this altar server looked a little bit peaky before he even started. But he went down the side wafting his incense, and he came up the aisle wafting his incense. And he had to hold this thing for the whole of Mass. So he was right in front of us on the left-hand side of the church. And I tugged on my mum's coat and I said, that altar boy doesn't look well. And she looked and she went, no, he doesn't, but don't worry about it, you know. So Mass must have been going at least 35 minutes. I think he did incredibly well. Then the priest takes this thing off him. So the altar server has to get up and carry it across, give it to the priest. The priest wafted it over the altar and we could smell it from where we were. This poor lad turned green. He literally turned green in front of us. He hands it back to him. So the altar server's got the incense and all of a sudden he just goes, and I thought he was going to be sick. He got his hand over his mouth and him and the incense disappeared into the sacristy where you could hear him throwing up. The poor lad. No, it is vile stuff. It is vile stuff. Our priest doesn't use it often. Literally, he will only use it when he absolutely has to. The thing he adores doing and has equipment to do it with is a plastic bowl with cold water in it. And he has what looks like two large lolly sticks, like strapped together, and a sponge stuck in the top. So it's quite a big sponge, like a bath sponge. And he dips it in the freezing cold water and then he sprays it all over the congregation. That he loves. He does that at any and every opportunity. The only thing that curtailed him was, and I mean, I've been saturated more than once, was when I said, you want to be careful doing it as badly as that, because if you damage people's phones. And after that, it was like, oh, I hadn't thought of that because people's phones are out on the pew. So he loves the water, leaves the incense a lot alone most of the time. But it is, I would imagine if you had asthma, it would be shocking. Absolutely shocking. Only you, Simon. Only you and Mrs. Simon. Accidentally assaulted by a Buddhist with 10,000 incense sticks in Thailand. Were they lit at the time? How much do all these gowns and such weigh? Oh, they are really heavy. It would take two of you to get them on, something like that. If they're beaded, more so. To be honest, ours. If the priest was wearing something like that, it probably wouldn't be endowed with as many beads. And in terms of the cost, you're going to love this. You know how you have computer fairs and Apple WWDC and things like that? There is actually a global sales thing, an expo, for all religious, shall we say, detritus? You know, everything from the cassocks, the staffs, candles, you name it. And it's every 2 years. And I think it's in a town in Spain. I did not know about this until about 2015, 2016. And I'm looking at this magazine called The Tablet. And I'm like, what the heck is this? I thought it looks like an expo. And then when I read it, I thought, good God, it's an expo. I'll see if I can find it. Because one of the things that was in it, I thought was a darn good idea. Priest went mental. I mentioned it. He went mental. And it's Catholic as well. It's not just anybody else. It's a Catholic expo. Now, whether they call it expo. Oh, yes, it looks like it. Let's have a look. Is that the one I'm looking at? That's Facebook. I don't particularly want that. No, that's Liverpool. Catholic expo. Is it that one? No, it doesn't look like it. But basically what they've got there is like new cassocks, new everything, but they are not cheap. They are heckishly expensive. But the thing that struck me, we had a little girl at the time who not our little girl, but a little girl at church. She was at the crawling stage, so you would have to tell me what age that is. But she was at the crawling stage, and she'd crawl. You know when they're like quite industrious when they're crawling, and they can cover ground quite quickly. She would hair off, and she would actually make it to the altar steps and then start climbing the altar steps. And the mother's like, oh, good grief, and would go. And the priest would say, leave her. Not a problem, leave her. So she would meander around. As she got older, she could then pull herself up and stand up. And she made her way over to the candle holder, which is probably about 4 foot wide, waist height, with a money box at the bottom, put the money in, and candles next to it. And she would grab hold of the leg and pull. And she was strong enough at this point, or heavy enough, if you will, that as she pulled, the whole thing rocked. And we had lit candles on it. And in this expo, they had electric candles. So you pop your money in, and then you flicked a switch on the back, which I thought would keep the insurance down, rather than having lit candles. Because it wouldn't be the first time the priests set themselves on fire, same mass, and they light themselves up on the candle. Not even joking. So I said, oh, they had some electric candles. That was as far as I got. I'm not having electric candles. And I thought, OK, let's not say any more. Like, I thought that was quite a good idea. Oh, Acrobat is janky. Oh, tell me about it. Like it was developed in Java. It doesn't feel native, no matter what platform you're on. I'd say when I look at full Acrobat on the Mac, it looks like it was designed on iPad by Fisher Price and should stay there, quite frankly. Good night, Simon. You've got images of bishops strutting their stuff on the catwalk. Seriously, they do. They have like, what was it? Garb demos. So you'll get like ladies dressed as nuns going up and down a catwalk, and gentlemen dressed as priests, bishops, the Pope, going up and down the catwalk. And everybody stands and watches and then says, I think I'll have a blue one in small. It's bizarre, isn't it? Because I always thought there was a place in Manchester, it was called the Catholic Truth Society, basically sold books and prayer cards and stuff like that. It was huge. Originally, it was huge. And I remember thinking, how on earth do they pay the rent on this place? And it was in a central place in Manchester as well. It was on the corner, I think, of Albert Square. It was one of the squares anyway in Manchester. In the end, they didn't have the money to keep the place open. But when you went in, it was books and Bibles, prayer books, missals, other books about religious figures. So you would have like The Story of a Soul, which is the biography, I actually think it's the autobiography of St. Teresa. So you'd have all these books, you'd have prayer cards, you'd have things like beads, prayer beads, rings, stuff like that. So smallish things that you could imagine people buying. So there would be things for, there would be some statues, and there would be things like First Holy Communion stuff, christening stuff, the basics that people would buy, not priests or nuns, that people would buy. But in the back, they did have the latest fashion, shall we say, for priests to buy. And that does have to come out of the parish budget. So I was actually, this one's good. It is to do with the garb. We were in this meeting in the sacristy, which is the bit between where the priest lives and the church. So it's basically like the backstage of the church. So it's where the altar servers put their garb on. It's where everything is washed. It's where the register would be signed in the event of a marriage. We were in there having a meeting. I think it was about the summer fair. In the meanwhile, there was another thing going on in the church. And it wasn't choir practice or something. It was some meeting they were having. And that was in the church. At the same time, it was a busy night. At the same time, the parish council were meeting in the priest's dining room because there was nowhere else for them to meet. So all of this was going on. The wind was howling. And all of a sudden, somebody dashed in, and I think they thought the priest was in the room we were in, but he wasn't. He was with the parish council. And she said, the door's blown off its hinges. And of course, everybody in this meeting was very deep in this meeting, and I was there like observing, and nobody moved a muscle. And she said, literally, I can't close it. It's off its hinges. So I said, I'll come and have a look. I thought, because no one else is moving. So I went down to the front of the church and I had a look, and it had come off its hinges. And I thought, oh dear. So we had a church full of people, like with three meetings going on, not one. And I thought, well, I'm going to need to secure it or it's going to blow off. And it was attached at the top, but the bottom hinge had come off. And I thought, what am I going to do with it now? I thought, I need to close it. And two, I need to secure it. But there was no way to secure it. You could lock it, if you will, but seeing as though you couldn't close it properly, that wasn't an option. And I'm looking at this door and I'm thinking, there's no way I can do this, because the handle on the inside was like recessed. And I thought the only way would be to tie it together. And I'm looking round and I'm thinking, tie it together with what? You know, I'm in a church. I've got what I'm stood up in and a mobile phone. So I had nothing that I could tie it up with. And I thought, where on earth am I going to get a rope in the middle of a... Oh, I know exactly where I'm going to get a rope in the middle of a church. Hang on. So I said to them, just stand there and hold that door closed. I'll be back in 2 minutes. So I disappeared back into the room that I'd come from, which was the sacristy. And I opened this wardrobe door. And behind the door was all of the robes for the priest, any visiting bishops, and all of the altar servers. So I start rummaging in this cupboard. And what I'm looking for is the rope that they would tie around their waist. The priest doesn't wear one. The deacon doesn't wear one. So I've got theirs to the side. And I come down to the altar servers and I'm there checking basically the belt, only it's a rope, on all these altar servers things. And I'm thinking, which is the strongest? Which one's going to work? And then I whip this rope out from the middle. The people in the meeting are just watching me. I said, carry on, it'll be fine. And I march back out with this belt stroke rope. And I used the altar server's rope to tie the door handles together. And it stayed like that for 3 days while we got it fixed. So we have a wardrobe full of clothes, but sometimes they're not always used for wearing. Only me, hey? Only me. Anyway, the beef I had with you guys. Go and watch a film, you said. You'll enjoy it, you said. Pandemic, you said. What the actual? That had to be the worst film I think I have ever never made it to the end. I think I managed 20 minutes and I just wanted to gouge my eyes out. It was appalling. Have I got the wrong version? There were two films called Pandemic. I went for the one that had the better reviews. But when I say better, I mean by comparison to the one that didn't even get one tomato on the bad tomato scale. God, it was bad. If you've not seen it, Kim, don't bother. It's just gratuitously violent with no plot line whatsoever. None at all. And I'm thinking, this is bad. You would think when you're in the middle of a global pandemic that you could do some kind of comparisons and that there would be something, at least something that you could relate to. No. No. It was bad. It didn't even give any context as to where, what this pandemic was, what the symptoms were, how it was spread, etc., etc. It just started as though the first 10 minutes were missing. There was a doctor and she was trying to ring. You saw her daughter and her husband and they were on some kind of holiday. And the next you see, she's in like the full regalia, like we looked at last night, with that pod thing to go over your head. And she couldn't get hold of them and she hadn't heard from them in months and she had been co-opted into this government thing. So basically she's bereft over the daughter and the husband and the rest of it was just violence. That was it. And I thought, this is bad. This reminds me why I don't have a TV. Oh, do you know what I found? I found somebody who went to this fair. This priest fair thing. Interestingly, the one category I'd forgotten, these are photographs from the expo in 2016. But when I said it had all sorts, from the first photograph, you'll see exactly what I mean. Prayer books, that's Our Lady on the left in the brown. And you can see, you can't see any detail, but you can see how many booths there are. But the other thing that they had there that's big is audio stuff. Because when you think of churches these days, you know, the priest just used to shout. Now there's a lot of audio stuff. So these photos have come from somewhere called Phoenix Audio. And they deal with church acoustics. So they were at this fair as well. So you get an idea for the kind of stuff that's at this fair. But have a look at the first photo in particular. So each supplier has like a booth, just like a computer expo. Only it's not a computer expo. Now I know where it was. It was in Romania, that one. I might be able to find some pictures of the other stuff. And if I knew what that meant, I'm getting dialogue boxes at the bottom in Romanian. I might be able to find some other pictures, because the ones I definitely remember looking at were the garb, the cassocks, etc., etc. Catholic Expo 2016, Romania. Let's see if I can find any more. Absolute classics. No, it's still the audio one. What's that one? I'll probably have the original magazine somewhere with it all in. Absolute Scream. There's some. That's from Christia Info. You just wouldn't think things like that. You would think that you got stuff like that from specialist shops, wouldn't you? Not that there's an expo. And when you look at it, that's exactly the same thing. Now, they're Greek Orthodox. It's exactly the same booth with all of the stuff on it. Oh, look, incense burners. How handy. But just look at it, how much stuff there is. It's amazing, isn't it? And it's every 2 years, so there should have been one this year, but there probably wasn't. I'll find out if there was one this year, but I don't think there will be. I think it used to go around Europe. And the idea was, of course, that you've got Catholics coming from all over the place. So it's good for the hotels and all of the industries close by. Is that one wedding dresses in that one? Oh, no, it's hosts. Look, that's one with hosts. The one with the white chairs from the 60s. All the hosts in all the sizes. Absolutely fabulous. I guess there is, Kim, but I just never twigged with stuff like that. I would imagine there was a supplier and you just buy from them and that's it. But no, and they do try and modernise it every time as well. There's new stuff there. So the people behind Universalis probably turned up, because I don't have a missal anymore. They go out of date too fast. I've got a missal that my mum bought me, but that would have been around 86, 87. Now, it's not that the words change, although, to be honest, they have since then. But it's the year. You need to know. There are three alternatives for every reading, and you would need to know whether you were on A, B or C. And they used to put a calendar at the back of the book, but the calendar only lasted for like 12 years. So I'd have to like hand draw on the rest of them. So I said to my character, I can't be bothered with this. So I just use the Universalis, and Mike looks over my shoulder and that's that. We just share it. The Universalis is an app, and there's a website as well, but it's an app. So if you can imagine, like, it's a book basically, but it will tell you, you tap on today and you tell it a country in the settings, because it's different by country as well. So you pre-tell it what country you're in, and then you tap a day. I mean, it knows. It says, do you want to move to today? You say, yes. And then you have the mass in front of you, but you can choose whether you have the verbatim one, whether you have just the readings, or, you know, which version you want, whether you want extra readings. Some people actually use it at home and they have extra readings. I keep it to basically the bits that we need to join in with and the bits that they're reading out. Because sometimes, you know, we do have good readers, but sometimes what they say and what actually is in there are two different things. I can't tell you the number of times people have added in the word not when it's not there, or missed it out when it is, and totally changed the meaning of something. You know, like, thou shalt not commit adultery, only they miss the not out. Cue the entire congregation falling on the floor laughing. How do you eat the giant hosts? They break those up. That's for, one, it's for show, but also it's like a unity thing. So you can have where there's like a huge host or a much like the size of a pizza, and they will break that up. And then you will get a certain bit of it, but the bit you get could be small or it could be a bigger bit. Just depends how it actually breaks. But a lot of the time, the one on that picture towards the bottom, there's a circular one on the second shelf up and a circular one on the bottom shelf. The one on the bottom shelf is quite normal to have one of those. And what the priest will do is bless it, hold it up in front of him and bless it. Then he'll break it in half and then he'll break those in bits. He will have a bit of that. He will give the deacon a bit of that. Possibly the Eucharistic ministers would have a bit of that. And then there'll probably be like two or three pieces left. And that will go in with the rest of the standard circular ones. The one that's bigger than that, I personally have never seen used. But I would imagine it's used in the same way. So they just break it up. But it's comical, isn't it? And the square ones are gluten-free. So if you see any square ones, they're gluten-free. Genius. You can get electronic bells. Exactly, Anthony, isn't it weird? The stuff you could buy was just unbelievable, but it was a step too far for the priest to have electric candles. It's not the same, apparently. And I thought, no, the insurance company don't think it's the same either. I don't see anything wrong with electric candles. Mind you, I've been in a fire, so I wouldn't, would I? No, it makes perfect sense to me. But the stuff you could see, I'm really annoyed there that there is no photograph of all the garb with the models wearing it, just meandering up and down. Absolute genius. But you can see there, you know, there are normal people as well. It's not just the clergy. Some people make the trip and they will like stock up on stuff for them. But I mean, you can see in the picture, which picture is that? Fourth in, second from the right on the top row, just between the lady that's wearing the head to toe black and the grandma with the kiddie, there is like a plinth. Look how ornate that is. And the book on the top of it would be the book that in our church is carried out each week and laid on a plinth like that. But ours is like stone at the front. The thing with the book is I have no idea how they're doing that right now, because this book, and what's in this book, because I mean, that thing must have been hundreds of pounds years ago. It isn't quite the same as what would be in the Universalis, which is bang up to date. But that book, you would put it out on the plinth like that and you would open it. And whoever is doing that would bend down and kiss the page. I'm pretty sure that's not happening anymore. And everybody who came up and then did a reading would do the same. Not surprising, every Christmas Mike and I had a cold, was it? See, Anthony agrees with me. Electric candles, this is the answer. We do have some stupid things, as far as I'm concerned, with naked flames. Easter's a nightmare. Easter is a total nightmare. At Easter, instead of having tiny little tea light candles, we've got these long things. They must be easy 12 inches long, and they're like a firelighter style of candle. So they burn down really quickly because they're so skinny, and you are supposed to carry them. So we had this mass, which was the Easter Vigil, and we used to have it at a church. You know, we had three churches. It was at the smallest of the three churches because it would be full anyway. You wouldn't fill the big church because this mass is 3 hours long. You literally need three breaks in this mass. So it's towards the beginning. Everybody gets a candle. But the wax drips down and it would burn you. So they put a piece of cardboard, a circular piece of cardboard with like a cross in it. And they put that on the candle. Well, obviously, with a cross in it, the candle will go through, but it starts tilting one way or the other. And then they light it. And you've then got to get from inside the church. All the lights are off, by the way. It's a health and safety nightmare. You have to get from inside the church to outside the church, preferably without setting yourself or anybody else on fire. But if you can imagine, you've got this 12-inch candle in your hand and the lady in front's got long hair. It's a nightmare. So you get outside with it and you have to keep the candle going all the while you're outside while they get a bonfire going in an oil drum. not even joking with all this. And then they do like a mass over that. The last time we went to this, and I must admit, obviously this year we weren't going to mass at Easter, but last year I said I can't face it, not after last year. And what had happened that year, which would be 2018, was we'd gone outside. And because the weather was really bad, instead of doing what we normally did, which was walk right round the back of the attached school onto the field to do it, somebody had complained to the police the year before. And I said, what, about you lighting a fire? And he said, no, about devil worship. And I'm like, sorry, I've come in at the wrong reel here. And the priest had said, because the priest and the two deacons were wearing white, with like white robes, somebody had rung the police and said there was devil worship going on at the school. So because of that and the wind, he decided we'd have it in round the front. So we're round the front and he's lighting the fire. And I said to Mike, make sure you get the other end of it. I don't want to get downwind of the smoke. The wind changed, didn't it? Get downwind of the smoke. We smelt like a barbecue stroke crematorium for about a week. The pair of us got a cough. It was that bad. At this stage, we've still got the candles and we've still got to get inside the back in the church where there are no lights, back to your own seat via candlelight. But by this stage, you've probably been outside about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. These candles are virtually down to a nub and you're trying to hold on to them, not set anybody on fire and keep the cardboard at the right angle so the wax isn't dripping off onto your clothes. Then you finally get back in and he says, you can put your candles out, and somebody puts the light on and everyone's like, thank God. It's a nightmare. I would much rather have a torch. There you go. I would much rather have a torch. We do that on another occasion, but it's not half as bad that time. That one at Easter, that's just terrible. Well, I need to find some of the photos of those dressed up as the priests and the nuns meandering around in the clothes. I definitely need to find some of those. But that was the one that was in the magazine. And there was an article about it. And I read it because I had no clue that anything like that ever went on. And I was fascinated. Not that my Polish was that good, or Romanian, or whatever language that is on there. But there you go. Well, I'm not going to watch the end of that film. It was dire. I may have got the wrong film. As I say, there were two. Should I try the other one? Well, the reviews for that were even worse. So I think it's a no on that. I'll go off and I'll have a look at the rest of them, because I know Kim said I probably wouldn't enjoy Calamity Jane, but trust me, it couldn't be any worse, because this one was bad. Really, really bad. I will come back tomorrow with news of what I attempted to watch tonight and let you know. But for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight from me, and Mike's in his meeting, so I'll say goodnight from Mike, and we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.